Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone into the Clay County Corner here on this kind of dreary-looking Thursday morning, where it's just a little nippy over here in the hamlet of Salina. I think maybe we are up into the 20s. Thankfully, we missed out on most of the freezing rain and moisture that fell from the air, but a few of the vehicles were frozen up this morning. But our school system is closed down because of illness, and I think maybe a couple more of the counties in this area are having the problems with the flu, so they're going to try and put in a long weekend and maybe help take care of that problem. And we've got a bunch of things going on. I think we're still going to have a basketball game this weekend. And I know we've got some folks coming over just in a little bit to talk about a career boot camp that's going on. And first up today, we've got some representatives that are going to talk about animal rescue projects here in Clay County. And we're going to let them do a little bit on that here in a bit. But I guess I've got a couple of announcements to make, some things that are fairly important. Kevin Donaldson from over the chamber just came by and brought an issue of Governor Bill Lee's first executive order. And that first executive order was to address accelerated transformation of rural counties, which was a program started by Governor Haslam, which will greatly involve three of our counties here in this area, and that is that tremendous emphasis is to be played on the economic improvement, hopefully bring a lot of attention to our area and some of our problems that we have being what is called a distressed county in Tennessee. And that those counties are Jackson, Clay, and Fentress County, and there were 15 counties designated here in the state, and we have three of them right here. So hopefully that's going to bring some attention to us, and apparently the new governor does know that Clay County exists, so that is great news. Let's see, we have got, all three of my first guests are here this morning. We have an all-female show this morning, looks
Hello.
Like. And ladies, I'm going to come back here in a minute and let y'all introduce yourselves. As soon as I finish up a little more business work here, remind you, of course, if you're listening, you know we come on every Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country, with a rebroadcast in the evenings at 6 o'clock if we don't get preempted by basketball games, tournaments, and things like that during this period of the year. And also, our shows are streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon newspaper site, so you can listen to them there. And we will take a few minutes off to work in a few words from the folks that make this show possible, those people that spend their money to get on here, let everyone know about their businesses here in Salina and Clay County. So the first major thing we want you all to do is go shop, spend your money with them. But don't carry all your money over to Cook. We'll spend part of it here in Clay County. And visit all of our local merchants here. And with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll come back in a few minutes, and we'll get cranked up with today's show.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
We are back, welcome back. We have got, like I said, some ladies here with us this morning, and I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves and tell us what the project we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Ladies, you care to introduce yourselves to the folks out in radio land?
Sure. Hey, hello, everybody. I'm Paula Dickerson from Clay County Dog Rescue in Salina, Tennessee.
I'm Lisa Espinoza. I'm from Clay County, Tennessee Dog Rescue in Salina, Tennessee.
I'm Diane Brown, and I'm from Moss, Faith Farm Moss Dog Rescue.
And now, what are you all doing?
Well, we're trying to help all the county and our surrounding counties rescuing these dogs.
That's kind of what I thought you might say, that you're in the business of trying to rescue.
Right, yeah. I'll just start out real quick because they can do the best talking and explain the issues that we're having here in Clay County and other counties. But I basically am representing Faith Farm Dog Rescue, which is a nonprofit, and my goal at the moment is to foster larger dogs and to rescue the older dogs that might want to live their life out on the farm. I'm not equipped to take in puppies at the moment, but I'm repairing my farm, getting my other barn done. I've put in fencing, and I plan on tearing down my old house and getting available for the puppies. But right now at the moment, please don't dump your older dogs. Give me a call, Faith Farm. I'm on Facebook. I have a website. My phone number, just in case, is 931-258-4499. And please call me. We can help with any dog.
And that name again was
Faith? It's Faith Farm Dog Rescue.
Okay.
And we're Salina. We're Clay County, Tennessee Dog Rescue. We kind of do something very similar, although we take usually the younger dogs or the puppies in, moms, pregnant moms. We also help the community. We just got a grant for $20,000 for a spay and neuter program, so that's out there as well. We can help people that are lower income be able to get their dogs spayed and neutered at a very reasonable cost, so that way we're not continuing the overpopulation problem that we have in Tennessee where there's so many dogs getting dumped. Hopefully at one point we'll have it to where, you know, there's not going to be all these unwanted litters. And so that's one of the things that we do. We take in, a lot of people bring us, the Sheriff's Department works with us a lot and brings us dogs that they find in various places and various locations as well.
Okay, and you know, being Southern born and bred. I don't know whether you ladies are Southern born and bred or not, but I can assume by, I hadn't heard of you all yet there. So, but you know, it's always been, you know, it was always a Southern thing that everyone had dogs. Everyone had their hound dogs, their coon hounds, their rabbit dogs, all those kind of animals, the German shepherds, you know, and the whole bit, the sheep dogs. And our dogs roamed free. We didn't know there was any such thing as leash laws and things like that. And, of course, as, you know, the entire nation became more urbanized, and, you know, we're not totally urbanized here, but, you know, stray dogs are a problem. And stray dogs, you know, we didn't usually, you know, we didn't consider our dogs to be stray dogs because, you know, we just let our dogs roam free when, like, back when I was growing up. You know, that's kind of the way it was, but no, we can't do that anymore, can we?
No, that's got to change. There's just too many dumped dogs, young and old. And I know from years ago, people that just dumped these little six-pound puppies, you know, a whole litter in the freezing, and there's no way those dogs can survive. Or just letting the dogs roam and just take off. It's just got to change. They just got to call one of us.
You know,
to help.
You know, I know over the years you could, back before we had, you know, dumping sites that had people that actually monitored and things, you could drive by there and usually at least once a week you'd see a little box over there with a box full of puppies sitting in it at all different times of the year. And, you know, I think, the attitude toward our animals are changing where we are considering, you know, that they are a treasure that we have, and they do need protection, and they're not just something that you use for a little while and throw away.
Yeah, the whole idea is changing, that they're not just a possession, they're becoming more of a family member. Another thing with the stray dogs, we're a little bit more compact. We're having more micro farms, smaller farms. Stray dogs are also, you know, attacking other people's livestock. And so it's a loss for the community. People that, you know, have sheep or goats or chickens, you know, they're spending a lot of money having to replace or vet those animals because stray dogs are out loose attacking, you know, livestock and stuff like that. And, you know, it's one of those things that we kind of want to rein in a little bit.
Okay. And you mentioned, you know, the program that you have working with the veterinary people that for that. If you want to talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, this is Paula again. So we actually were able to get a $27,000 grant. It's for Jackson County, Overton County, Clay County, and Smith County. So if anybody in Clay County wants to get their dog or cat fixed, it's $10. That includes a free rabies shot. You can find me on Facebook under Clay Dog Rescue. So far we have 67 appointments right now. I transport them. You're welcome to follow me. They will be going to the Joy Clinic in Lebanon. I want to thank them again. They're the ones who got me the grant. Well, all of us in Clay County, the grant. And we meet at Rite Aid at 6:45 in the morning, and I bring your animals back at the end of the day at about 5. I will be doing this about 8 days a month. So please, if you can't afford the $10, I will pay for it out of my own pocket. So, you know, don't hesitate to call me. My number is 931-243-3743. Again, it's 931-243-3743. I want to make one other note. I'm originally from Maine. I had never seen stray dogs because we had shelters in Maine. And, I stumbled across a litter about 8-9 years ago, called the sheriff's department. That's when I found out we had no animal control. I also found out that a lot of these stray dogs are being shot. If you have a dog threatening your livestock or your property, please call us first. Give us the opportunity to get that dog off of the farm or off of the owner's property before shooting it. I've already had 3 shooting incidences this week. One was saved by maybe a millisecond. So, you know, I can't save all of them, but I can darn well try the best. And any questions, literally call me or find me on Facebook.
Okay. Now, I didn't think your background, ladies.
I'm from Maine.
And I'd like to say, you know, how you got interested in this, and I know you have nonprofits. How do you go about getting these things set in motion to become a nonprofit? Exactly what does that mean? How does that aid you in the work you're trying to do?
Okay, so a nonprofit.
Just a minute. Let's give a little background on each of you before we start. You said from Maine.
I'm from Maine, yes. Yeah. And
maybe you were hiking the Appalachian Trail coming down here to get off.
I worked for a big bank, Wells Fargo, and then they merged, and then they cut all of our jobs. I was in the midst of building a house in Salina.
Yeah.
But I literally found Salina randomly on the map. So I had never been to Tennessee in my whole life.
Well, now, we had one gentleman on here earlier that was originally from Louisiana, and they were living somewhere out west. And the way they found it was they got him a map. And one of them wanted to live here, one of them lived there. So they did a coordinate, and wherever that coordinate crossed, I think they wound up maybe in Overton County. But I think he taught school in Clay County for a while. That's how they got here.
Wow.
So you were displaced. How did you first come to Clay County?
The bank had transferred me to Murfreesboro. So I still have one child left out of 6 still in school. So we found the Cookeville area school system. And then basically, you know, economics was good in that area.
So right.
We just randomly Googled Tennessee, and that's how I got here. And then I found Salina because I wanted to buy land on the water. And I'll tell you, a piece of land in Maine on the river would be about $100,000-$150,000 just for the land.
Yeah.
So very reasonable cost of living here in Salina, Tennessee.
You know, of course, that's a big emphasis we've got in the county now is getting folks to move in.
Love it here.
And retirees or people like you that have been displaced. Hey, you know, this is a great place. I know when you get displaced, sometimes you get maybe a pretty good little severance package, and you've got a little money where you can buy your little bit of land, start your home, and start a new life in a new place with a new outlook and a new thing that you're really, really want, that you, your heart's telling you to follow, isn't it?
Yes, I really, really want to change this community. I'm going to make one other statement. I rescued 1,248 dogs last year, and that was 813 were from Clay County. About 600 were dump litters of puppies.
Well, you know, I like something you just said there. You want to change Clay, but you don't want to change what Clay County is. You want to change a bad habit that Clay County
right,
has.
Right, dumping dogs and puppies. Yeah, I should correct that statement. I definitely want to help. And I don't, a lot of people don't know I'm here.
Yeah.
And the ladies at the churches are spreading the news now. So there's just, there's no reason for any dump dogs or puppies.
Okay, next on our list.
Okay. My name is Lisa Espinoza. I've actually worked in rescue for about 20 years. I had a nonprofit organization in Nevada. I started working at a vet's office as a tech in Nevada, and I met another lady, and at that point I was really young, and I didn't realize that there was an overpopulation with animals or that animals needed a rescue or anything like that. So I started working with her, and eventually she retired, and I took over the rescue, and I did that for many, many years. And then from there, we had moved back home, which is New York, and I did rescue in New York. It's, once you get into it, you kind of, once you see a problem, you can't
right.
see the problem, and it's that, this problem exists everywhere, from coast to coast, from north to south. So I did that there, and my daughter, you know, 9/11 happened and all of that happened, so economically we couldn't stay in New York any longer. My husband's family decided they were going to move to Tennessee, and kind of, we had the only grandchild, so they were like, let's go to Tennessee. So we all kind of migrated down here together in a sense.
Okay, now Diane, you've been with us a pretty good while also.
Yeah, I've been here for a while. I'm Diane Brown. I was born in Illinois and raised a little bit in Wisconsin. I came here via Florida, though. Was there for 30 years and wanted to get out of that rat race. I found Salina because of the Dale Hollow Lake area. I grew up on a lake in Wisconsin and wanted to be by a lake or in that vicinity, so we happened to be down here looking for property and looked at quite a few, and Michelle Watson was our realtor at the time, and she showed us this place on Brimstone. We bought it that night. Didn't know how we were going to do it, but we did it, and we moved here in 8 weeks.
And
so started raising animals. Goats were my first thing, and got into that, and then a lot of abandoned dogs.
And Diane is in a beautiful, beautiful remote area of Clay County.
Yes.
She said Brimstone is basically at the end of Clay County. And it's not the end of the road unless the bridge falls in or something.
No, but it's a great, the dogs can run, and we've got new fencing now, and there's going to be more going up, and they can bark to their heart's content.
And
nobody will hear.
She has spent a number of years with us over at the Clay Chamber.
Yeah, I was almost 10 years at the Clay County Chamber.
Part-time employee over there.
Yeah. Yep,
and, of course, that's how a lot of us got to know Diane, and a lot of us got to know her by listening to her, she and her husband and her group, Pick and Grin.
Oh, yeah.
They try to make it to all of our things that we have going on with the group called the Brimstone Bluegrass.
Yeah.
And great to have you all with us. But now, look, we'll get back to business a little bit after we take a little short break. We're going to come back and talk about, you know, setting up a nonprofit for something like this and all the hoops and things you have to go through and the things involved in that. But we'll be back just in a minute after these words from our sponsor.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome everyone back. We want to remind everyone that we do have our birthday and anniversary drawing today. We don't have very many names. We've only got a couple of names today, so one of those folks are going to win one of those delicious ice cream cakes from over at the Dairy Queen. And we'll, I could just go ahead right now and announce the two names that we have today. We have Jackie Bray on the 24th is celebrating a birthday, and also this week, Ben Likens, his Mimi called in and celebrating a birthday. So we'll make a little drawing on that. The number to call is 243-5574. So we need to get a few more folks in here calling in. And any time during the week, call in if you know of anyone that has a birthday from this Thursday until next Thursday. Give us a call. We'll get their name in the drawing for the cake. With that, ladies, let's go ahead and some of the nuts and bolts of what's going on with this.
Well, you were asking about the nonprofit. I personally, and I believe you too, John Thomas Buford, the CPA here in Salina, both set up both of our nonprofits.
Yes.
I want a big thank you for doing that for us. The nonprofit helps in so many ways as far as getting grants, tax-deductible donations that we can all use. And it doesn't have to always necessarily be money, even though that's nice, but we welcome donations, blankets, toys, food, straw, cleaning supplies,
and materials,
yeah,
old towels,
yeah, anything, yeah, anything, you
okay,
know.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you have
someone, tax deductible.
Someone that wanted to come down and volunteer a week to work on your barn.
Yeah,
especially us.
So, any of you guys out there that would like to come down and help on the Brimstone Farm, down Faith Farm,
and
on their facilities,
yes,
you know,
yes,
bring your hammer and your saw down and come by and help out. And
or anybody do laundry, cleaning. Yeah.
A barking dog, spending time with dogs. Fosters are always needed, too, because if we have more fosters, then we can help more dogs. Our facility, we could hold about...
Well, I can hold... We've had... Our high 2 months ago was 88.
Yeah.
I really prefer to keep it 50 dogs and less. I'm at 54 right now. I had 18 on Monday and 54 one week later.
Okay, and when one thing I don't know, you know, we really need to emphasize is, you know, we see that the animal shelters out of the metropolitan areas, and you see that the cages really is what they're in.
Right.
These animals, when they come to you guys, they're out running,
yes,
that they can get out and run within fenced areas. And
yes, we
now
have indoors,
eight fenced-in areas at my place. I went from three fenced-in areas to seven. I had some extra money just recently, so we just invested in fencing. And then we have an indoor puppy room that can hold, you know,
60
puppies. They can go in and out. And it's heated in AC.
Okay, let's get back to your notes.
All right. So another thing we wanted to really talk about was the importance of vaccinations. Here in Clay County, we have a huge issue with parvo and disease. In Tennessee in general, but in Clay County, it's extremely bad. I just did, like, this online continuing education course in shelter medicine, and it was out of Virginia, and the director, the teacher of this course, actually named Clay County in his lecture, talking about the importance of vaccines and how Clay County, Tennessee, has one of the highest parvo rates in the nation.
The whole nation.
And the whole nation. And what parvo is an intestinal disease that it can kill a small dog in 3 days. And it's very, very, very easy to prevent it, you know, it with shots, with proper vaccination, and proper vaccination of the mothers before they give birth to puppies. They say if the mother is properly vaccinated, then the puppies are good for 12 weeks, and then, you know, if they're at home, in a home environment. So anyone ever has issues with vaccines also, they can contact us. And we will help with that. We really want to cut down on the amount of diseases we're seeing in Clay County, as long as, you know, unwanted litters and stuff like that.
Okay, and also when animals are allowed to run loose, or when, you know, someone tosses an animal out, you know, there's always that chance that a rabid wild animal comes in contact, and we have a rabies problem. I don't know how that problem is now.
There's not so much of a rabies problem as there is like the parvo problem.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that parvo can stay on a surface for 7 years. So a sick dog urinates or defecates or vomits on an area of land, a patch of grass. That patch of grass is technically contaminated for 7 years. So the next time a puppy walks across it that's not vaccinated, will pick up that virus. And that keeps happening over and over and over again. So like I said, the main thing is very preventable. You know, we just need to start getting information out there to help people vaccinate their animals as well.
But everybody, so everybody knows, and some people don't, we do have a brand new vet in town. So Dr. Dawn Lindsay, and she's on Donaldson. She's next to our old vet. And rabies shots are $10 there, I believe is what she's charging, is $10. So everybody should vaccinate their dogs. If you cannot afford vaccinations, you know, just please either call Diane or, you know, us at Clay County, and we'll get you hooked up with shots. So I'd like to see by year end everybody's personal dogs with vaccinations, rabies tags, and spayed and neutered. So we're here to help everybody in Clay County. $27,000 seems like a lot of grant money. It can go fast.
Quick,
so please call us.
And also, I know in the past, and I'm sure that Dr. Dawn will be doing the same thing, is our vaccination clinics at the different communities here in the county. You know, at Hermitage Springs, up at the Willow Grove area, here in Salina, at Pea Ridge, different places, and where she will be setting up, and where you don't have to bring your dogs into Salina to get this done.
Yeah. Can I just want to say one last thing is we all are on social media. We have Facebook pages. I have a website, Faith Farm. They go through adoptapet.com. We have a lot of photos of available dogs on Facebook, so if you need a dog, please contact one of us.
We also have videos on YouTube.
Right, and I know that's one of the things, you know, that I got a little bird in my ear a minute ago that one time, you know, about the adoption of the animals. And, you know, long-term, animals that don't get adopted, do you keep them just basically as long as you have to? Or?
We're no-kill shelter, so that means that once the dog is with us, it's with us for the duration until it finds a home.
So you're not going to be making any of those announcements. If someone doesn't come by and adopt so many of these animals so long, we're going to have to use that dirty word that starts with an E on the animals.
Yeah, the only time that that would ever come into play is if the dog was terminally ill.
Right.
We had to make a medical decision, you know, what was best for the dog. But as far as like, oh, we're too full, so we're going to start doing that, that's not an issue. Again, that's where fosters come in. So, you know, people could take the dog into their home for a week, a 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and, you know, just house it basically for us and care for it, and we provide everything for the fosters.
Do we have any charge for adoption?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so there is a slight charge.
To put a dog, a puppy through a system, it's about $127.50. That includes, even though you guys are getting the spayed and neuter discount, I'm not. So I'm not taking advantage of the grant money. I'm still paying the price. I'm saving the grant money for the community. But so adoption fees can range anywhere from $75, and I know this is a scale, but I have a reasoning for my scale, all the way up to $195. Some people say, well, hey, I can go to Cookville and adopt at a shelter. Yes, you can. But also, if you get a free dog, you need 3 rounds of puppy shots, $20 a piece, $60. Then you're going to have to spay and neuter the dog, deworming,
by the time you're done, you're going to have, you know, about $125, $150, up to $200 per vetted dog. So our fees are very reasonable. We're not here to make money. We're here to save dogs and then basically put the money back into the rescue. I spent $54,900 last year on my rescue and took in $38,200. So $13,000 negative came out of my pocket. So that's how it works.
All right. Ladies, it's been a pleasure having you.
Well, thank you.
You folks are with us this morning, and you have an open invitation when you come up some new news or when you get a new grant or some type of new program comes down.
Hopefully for a possible shelter down in the future. So
all right.
We'll be back.
With that, I guess we'll take a little short break, and I think our other guests are here. And it's just, like I said, a pleasure having you ladies with us, and it's been a great way to start the show off. And
thank
y'all for coming by. With that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a lot in the hush.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the ring cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
We are back here. I now have a couple of representatives. I guess they're representing the education department here in Clay County, even though school's closed today, and I think maybe one of them might have gotten maybe a day of vacation time if we hadn't have had to come into the radio show this morning, so they had to get up early and come in. It's a pleasure having them with us. We've got some real important news to talk about, and we'll talk about it in a minute. How about if I do this before we do?
Okay.
Sometimes I do a Today in History, mm-hmm. and I found four or five of the kind of interesting things that I thought I might go over. In 1848, James Marshall found something in Sutter's Mill in California. Does anybody know what that was?
Absolutely.
The Gold Rush, beginning of the Gold Rush. The 49ers, all the people started rushing to California the next year, and they've been a rushing there ever since. Now, I know you'll like this. In 1899, rubber heels for boots were patented by an American named Humphrey O'Sullivan. So they did away with leather heels on ladies' boots and shoes so they wouldn't be slipping all over the floor.
Well, I'm proud for that.
And I kind of like this one. In 1922, Christian Nelson of Iowa, who was not an Eskimo, patented the Eskimo pie. Some of these news things are real. And then this next one here, I know was appreciated by a lot of folks still around everywhere. In 1935, the first canned beer was sold by the Kruger Cream Ale Company, by the American company Kruger Brewing Company. So the first canned beer came out in 1935. And this one might be familiar to you, but you're out of a different age. The Grapes of Wrath, based on the great novel by John Steinbeck. The movie was released at this time. And I think basically maybe everybody has seen that movie. One of the greatest movies of all time about the great Dust Bowl here in the United States. And once again, folks from Oklahoma, folks really all the way back here in Tennessee that tried to migrate to California, the land of milk and honey with the big jobs and everything. And it was also out of the Grapes of Wrath came Woody Guthrie, the great folk singer who went out there to work with the migrant workers out there. And then I'm sure Christie's husband, he may have watched this. In 1983, Hulk Hogan pinned the Iron Sheik for the World Wrestling Federation title. I thought that was kind of, and this one, it was a, this one really is a, I guess it started out kind of slow. And the company nearly went bankrupt when they introduced this, and, you know, they thought it was going to immediately make all of them millionaires. A fellow named Stephen Jobs introduced the first Macintosh personal computer in 1984, and nobody really liked them when they came out. The Apple company has sort of changed the world. And I think now they're selling telephones for $4,000 or $5,000 a piece. So, and they're one of the richest companies in the world. But it all started with the Apple Macintosh in 1984. Now, ladies, we have a thing called a career boot camp coming up.
Yes, we do. I wanted to talk a little bit about what the state has implemented and asked us to do. To produce ready graduates. And that kind of, that had to do with the Drive to 55 initiative, of course, where by 2025 we have 55% of our students in our workforce, our people in the state of Tennessee that have some kind of training degrees or job ready. This recognizes students who exit high school with documented skills and that have a higher probability of increased lifetime earnings and lower probabilities of unemployment, incarceration, poverty, and single parenthood. Now, these is the ready graduate indicators that the state has handed down. So, some of these things that we're doing this year and initiatives that we're doing are trying to support what the state has handed down. And part of that, and you may have heard about that, is our students 21 or higher on the ACT, or they need 4 early post-secondary opportunities like dual enrollment, dual credit, and things like that, or they need two of those early post-secondary opportunities and an industry certification, or the two of the early post-secondary opportunities and the ASVAB test, the Armed Services test, a certain score on that. And, of course, I think we've looked, and just recently there's something in there, Mr. Watson, that has been an initiative, the very first initiative by the governor that Bill Lee has already several counties. We're part of rural counties.
Based on a survey by the Appalachian Regional Commission, which mm-hmm. we're all familiar with, they have named, I believe it's 14 counties here in Clay County that are distressed areas, and Governor Lee has said, you know, we're going to put the power and the force behind state government to help these 14 counties to that are distressed, that need help in really in all areas, economic areas, education areas, all of these type things, and they're going to really emphasize them. And Jackson, Clay, and Fentress County, our neighbors, mm-hmm. along
right.
with us, are those counties that have been, you know, he put the little red button on the map and said, you know, we're going to give special efforts to improve these counties. And I know you mentioned the word, you know, we know what a boot camp, we know what
right.
what the Marines,
right.
rigorous,
right.
rigorous training.
Exactly. Well, one of the initiatives that we are working on, and hopefully this executive order that the governor has passed down, and I know the Department of Education will be working on that, workforce development and economic development, and all those things will be working on it. But what we're working on right now, and I've got Ms. Christy Beasley here with me today, and she's been working with me along with several workforce community volunteers, and we are so fortunate in our county to have so many volunteers, and I don't know if people out there listening really realize this, but this is a volunteer right here. Mr. Watson, you're here. You do this radio show, and people get the opportunity to listen to that. So we have just so many good volunteer areas that people are for the betterment of our county. And that's something that we're really working on, working with the workforce development and all the community volunteers.
And I think I saw an announcement from the high school of a list of students that they had, I guess, singled out that had the number of volunteer hours
uh-huh.
that they had committed here to various projects here in Clay County. And there were, I think it started maybe at 50 hours, 100 or 200
right.
plus hours, and then maybe, 500 hours mm-hmm. plus or something. And we had some folks that were doing that. But I mm-hmm. someone just asked
okay.
me some questions
okay.
here.
Okay.
You want to address one of those?
Okay.
And you, can you tell us about the Ready Graduate Initiative that the state has handed down? And
yes. Well, the Ready Graduate Initiative is what I was referring to just a moment ago about the 21 ACT, the early post-secondary opportunities, and the things that the state is requiring of us for our students. And that started last school year, and we're still learning about that, and we're trying to help just produce a skilled worker or someone that's going on to post-secondary training to get additional training.
Okay, can I ask you a little question here
yes.
now? You know, Governor Lee, he's talking, you know, the shift back toward post-secondary and vocational and type.
Right.
On the secondary level,
yes.
The curriculum there, and I know over the years, things, some of the, in the curriculum, things like bookkeeping, mathematics of finance, a study, high school study, more of economics,
mm-hmm.
That type thing. Do you see that as being a change that may be made, that the curriculum may go back to, you know, I don't think we've had a bookkeeping class in years. And, of course, that is the, you know, the beginning to accounting. And I know you have probably talked
right.
to a lot of students
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they go to Tennessee Tech and they may start in some major, but a lot of them wind up in somewhere in the business area. And one of the foreign languages they run into is that accounting class
mm-hmm.
they have to take.
True. I can see that we would have a lot of things like that. Of course, we are a very small high school. And one way that we are able to offer some things is through our dual enrollment with the TCAT Livingston. And they do have accounting as part of their business class there. So that they might take a class there as a way of getting some of that accounting, even if they're going on to a four-year college. They are allowed to take that as dual enrollment, so we have dual enrollment opportunities there. So yes, I think that there are lots of things that we may see swinging back in that direction. And one of the things we want to talk about, and I think...
Wait just a minute for
oh,
you.
Yes.
Guess what time it is?
Uh-oh.
It's time we earn a little money to keep this show
okay,
on the air.
Okay, let's do it.
So let's get in a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back just in a minute. Keep these quick. I can't keep it.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Jane and Christy are still with us, and they're going to just delve into this since we've got a few minutes left. And I know one of the things that they were here to talk about was the boot camp, and I'm just going to let them start in and just explain that thing to the folks and let them know what they're doing.
Okay. Well, Mr. Watson, you were talking just a minute ago about a boot camp. When you think of a boot camp, it's just a really, you're really getting with it, and you're just cramming a lot of things, and it's really rigorous. And so what we are having is a senior interview boot camp, and we're going to try to do this the first week in February, February the 5th, and it's going to be an all-day long event for the seniors, and we have a lot of people from our workforce, our local workforce development committee here locally, and some from other agencies are going to be working on this. And we're just going to have a lot of things that are going to help the students hopefully succeed in the interview process and in the job seeking process, and hopefully just soft skills that will help them in going on with their post-secondary training as well. We will be also going on March the 7th. To the Highlands Economic Partnership. They have a job fair where there will be 50 to 75 employers there, and they will actually be interviewing our seniors for real jobs. Our seniors will choose two of those jobs. They will have their resume in hand, their cover letter. And they will sit down and interview. So they're actually going to get the opportunity to put these skills to work. To tell you a little bit more about this day, though, this boot camp day on February the 5th, we have Ms. Christy Beasley. She's going to tell you a little bit more about that.
Okay, like Ms. Jane said, we are trying to get our seniors ready for March 7th, but we're also trying to get them ready for the workforce. Ms. Jane and our Workforce Development Committee and some volunteers have done a great job getting some things ready for them. We have Matt Craighead, and he is going to be doing mock interviews. And we have others. We have a panel that will be helping him do those mock interviews. We have Carol Abney, and she is going to work with the seniors with resumes, with interviewing, and with their attire. We have Kristen Rich and possibly Haley Barnes. and they are going to work with the seniors on communication skills and social media. We have Joel Chapel, and he is going to work with them on employability skills. We have Josh Snyder, and he is going to talk to them about 101 leadership. We have Mike Powell and Doug Young, they are also, and Kevin Donaldson, they are also going to assist in all of these different things that are set up for the interview boot camp. We have Amy Perfont, she is with Pathways, and she is going to be assisting as well. And our faculty and staff, Mr. Upchurch, Ms. Brooke, and all the faculty and staff have been great to work with and to help plan this interview boot camp, and some of our CET teachers will be assisting that day as well.
So this is a pretty good project, isn't it? Okay, and so when the seniors come, what can they expect when they come in that morning?
Well, starting off 8 o'clock, we have five different classrooms set up, and the seniors will go to a classroom, and we have them in a rotation, so they will get to go to all of the different things that I just told you about, and they will circle through all day long. They will interview. We will work and tweak on their resumes, just helping to get them through all the different classes so they have skills.
And, you know, a lot of people think resumes are a big, big, long, drawn-out process. Mm-hmm. But a resume, really and truly, it is a document that an employer can have in front of him there that tells him everything he needs to know about you in about two paragraphs, isn't it, ladies?
Yeah.
In a way, that's a little bit more difficult than a longer document.
Yes, it is.
So you have to make that concise, and you have to make that... and we might mention, too, and you were probably about to do that, Ms. Christy, we are going to be hopefully having those resumes in hand before the boot camp day. So our teachers and staff are working on the resumes in classrooms, in their extra RTI. They call it RTI time, in the afternoon, Bulldog time, I guess. And they're going to be having those on a Google Drive, hopefully, and be able to work on those for a couple of weeks now, from now until time for the boot camp. So we're going to be tweaking that day.
Okay, that's what I was getting to.
I've been told that Ms. White and Ms. McClanahan have already started in their classrooms letting the seniors work on these. Mm-hmm. So we're going to tweak.
You know, an employer, as many, they see thousands of these things, and they can usually read two sentences off of that resume, and they pretty much know from there what they want to do. Hey, this looks like this would be a great employee. Okay, now what else are we doing besides the resumes that day?
Okay, well, we're going to work on
face-to-face interviews.
All they're doing. We have it set up where each senior will probably have about a five-minute interview, and we're hoping to have a panel set up so they can kind of see what that would be like going into a real interview. And like I said, just 5 minutes, and then they'll rotate out.
I'm sure they'll be practicing on that also before they get there, hopefully.
We've given them, we are going to give them interview questions ahead of time so they can kind of practice.
And, you know, one of the things and the challenges for our students, it's always been difficult and scary when you do any kind of speaking, or you're sitting across maybe from two or three adults, and it might be a little intimidating. But I feel like it's additional challenging because our students are so involved with technology, and they do the texting as far as their communication. So I feel like this is a really good opportunity for them to maintain eye contact with someone, shake someone's hand, or whatever the appropriate contact might be like that. So I think that's going to be a real eye-opener for them.
Yeah, and also, you know, the body mannerisms, like you said, the eye contact, the way your shoulders look, the way you hold your head. You know, so many of our kids now are going around with their head turned down looking at that screen, aren't they? And this is something that... a skill that they're going to find out they really need. And I know both of you know that when you start to your post-secondary education at one of the universities, one of the classes that everybody has to get through is public speaking, no matter what your major, what you're planning on doing. And how many of the folks have you seen that break out in hives and have just all kinds of problems with public speaking.
One of the scariest things ever, yes, and intimidating. So hopefully we're going to give these students, it's nothing to worry about, it's just something to hopefully increase their comfort level and get them more ready for the workplace, because we feel like that we're teaching them other skills, but we may be not honing in as much as we need to on this. So.
Okay, we've got two covered. What else we got there we need that they're going to be involved in? I know they're going around, you're going to have employers, actual employers there, and they're going to have actual questions for them, and they're going to actually be looking for folks that day, aren't they?
On March the 7th, when we go to Cookeville, they are, and we're going to have all kinds of companies and organizations there. And we have had students, we've done this a couple of years already. We haven't had the boot camp in this way. I feel like this is our best effort on the boot camp, and we'll have more preparation. But we're going to, we've actually had students that have been hired through this, at Cookeville companies. So.
And I do know down at the high school, we do have our future business leaders group that I know they attend the conventions, and I know a number of them have done extremely well with the activities that they take part in there, and some of those is public speaking, resume preparation, and that type thing. Now we've got to move up to another step, haven't we? And we've got to get them even more ready.
Exactly.
And it needs to be for all students.
Right. We want every student. That's something we need to just make sure that we're clear about. This is for all students, not just students that are. We have all kinds of students that have industry certifications already, and skills that we didn't used to offer them, they have before they even graduate from high school. So we need to make sure that they present themselves well as far as that goes. So looking forward to those two events very much.
Okay, we're about to run out of time. We got two names today. I'm going to hand Christy a quarter. Their name, one of them is marked with an H, the other with a T. So she's going to flip the quarter. I've handed her a stained quarter.
Yeah, that was tails.
Okay. Tails has won.
Tails has won.
Apparently, I've had that quarter so long it's rusted or something.
I bet you had bubblegum around.
Ben Likens, I believe it was maybe his sixth birthday, I believe, so he'll have one of those delicious ice cream cakes from the Dairy Queen. Best laid plans of man. Ladies, it has been an extreme pleasure having you here with us this morning, and I think we've got some great information out.
Well, good to be here.
Now that you've made it over here and you've broken the ice, when you finish this, we got to come back and do a roundup on it, tell them exactly how it went, and anything else new that you've got coming up, anytime. I think maybe you guys know my phone number and email address, and I know we've got some stuff from the workforce development, and hopefully with the governor's first proclamation that there'll be some things come down on that, and we do know that we have to advance and we have to move, and look like we're going to be moving back to a what we used to call the two-track thing, but it's not two-track. It's really just one single track, and everyone's going to start with those same basic skills. And we hope that the attention that is being brought to our county, that it's going to help our schools, our community, and everything. But with that, it's been a pleasure having you guys here with me this morning, and I hope you've enjoyed as much as I have, and looking forward to seeing you again. And I'd like to thank the ladies that were here earlier with the dog rescue program. And with that, I guess we're about to run out of time, so I think we'll shut the barn door here, and I think we've got everything put up, and we'll say, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you back here again next week on WVFB-FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And remember, rebroadcast at 6 o'clock tonight and streamed on the Delahalla Horizon side. So with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.